5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a lot of stuff to break down. College basketball takes center stage this weekend. Bubble watch is getting real. And conference tournament play is set to begin. March Madness right around the corner. But, of course, the WBC is now less than a week away. And Shohei Ohtani is in Japan. And it's amazing if you wonder about, like, the popularity of baseball and Ohtani and the fan base in Japan. They had a team workout today. The stadium was sold out. Tokyo Dome, sold out. And for the record, be very scared. Ohtani, I don't know, the video I saw, Ohtani hit like 16 home runs in a row or something like that in batting practice, just crushing it. And for all you Dodger haters, you'll be happy to know that the Dodgers are undefeated in Cactus League play, are 6-0, and have outscored their opponents 51-19 to start the exhibition baseball season, and Ohtani isn't even in America. He's in Japan right now. Mookie Betts hasn't put a uniform on yet. Right. And the Dodgers farm system are terrorizing the rest of Major League Baseball right now. And I like it, actually. And it's funny because normally I'd be like, hey, whatever, spring training and stuff. But people cry about the Dodgers so much, and there's going to be a lockout and a strike and blah, 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 and all this stuff, and the Dodgers are ruining baseball. It's like, all right, let's play some Cactus League play with all of our prospects and see what happens. Well, we're 6-0. How are you doing? Right? So, it's people can talk about the Dodgers spending money and stuff. The Blue Jays spend money. The Mets spend money. The Phillies spend money. The Yankees spend money. There's some teams that spend money. Difference is the Dodgers not only spend money, but they actually develop players, which makes it just an absolute lethal combination. Rob Vino knows this. How you doing, Rob?
I am doing good, Gabe. And in fact, one of the Dodger competitors in the NL West, San Diego, has taken their shot at spending an overload of money. Hasn't worked out for them. Cubs spend money, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, point well taken. LA, I turned it on last night it was the White Sox last night, I think. And they did the job against Chicago too. And you're right, a lot of the names I didn't even recognize.
I missed the first two because of the Olympics, right? It was a horrible start time for spring training. Like, it started on the Friday. I think the Dodgers played their first game on Saturday. So it was like the Saturday, Sunday, I was so encaptured with the gold medal hockey game and all that type of stuff. I missed out on the first two games, but I bet them the last four games in a row, just sort of blindly, just point blank. Like, yeah, I'll just take the Dodgers -110. And, and they win. And it's just one of those. I tell people all the time, when it comes to spring training baseball, you've just got to sort of ride the hot team and the hot teams and fade the bad teams. The Pirates are another one right now. The Pirates have a bunch of good young players. They seem to be pretty enthusiastic in spring training right now. They're 5-2. They were 5-2 coming into today. They're a team that I would continue to think that would continue to play well through spring training. But The WBC is set to begin. And before we bring Cam in, Rob, WBC, your betting levels, betting interest, handicapping, are you breaking it down at Wager Talk? What are you doing with the WBC?
You know, I won't be breaking it down for Wager Talk. Other guys will be doing that only because the college basketball upcoming stuff is so heavy work detail, along with the NBA. But yeah, I bet that stuff, and I probably don't bet. I mean, it's not like an NFL size bet or a college football size bet. I did go and watch a couple of the roster breakdowns on network, MLB Network, and I think Fox had one as well. Interesting where these players play, what teams they end up. Like, remember our ex-Dodger, Clay Thompson's brother, Trace Thompson. I find out the other day he plays for Great Britain. It's crazy. How do you end up on Great Britain?
You know what's some crazy? Of these squads, I would have been able to tell you that. I would have been like, yeah, you know what? Matt Kemp has some British in him. He's got some UK connections to him. Yeah, I actually knew that. I know a lot of weird stuff, but I knew that, yeah. I kid him. I think Aroldis Chapman's on Israel. Like I said, like somebody's like rosters like are kind of loose. Like, you know what I'm saying?
There's some good teams out there, that's for sure. There's some really good rosters out there. So it'll be fun. I anticipate watching and betting it, and we'll see how it goes. There's, like I say, five or six of the teams I saw have really, really good rosters.
So one thing of note for this, there was a lot of talk about the U.S. team and the pitching that they had. And this is by far the best pitching staff in the WBC, at least the deepest. And this is definitely by far the best pitching staff that the USA have ever had in the WBC. Listen, I was at the first WBC, like live. So like I've been, and you know, I've seen the progress and the whole growth of this whole thing. And they've always had good pitchers, like, you know what I mean? But they've, you know, there's been an ace or two along the way, but not like this. You know what I mean? That's always been like last time around, last WBC was like Lance Lynn, Adam Wainwright. And you know what I mean? It was sort of like the, you know, the mid-tier guys or guys that used to be better or whatnot. This time you got Paul Skeens, you got Tarek Skubal, and you got Logan Webb. All right. So people are like, all right, just give the U.S. the title right now. The USA are minus 110. And over the last couple of days, for those of people that are paying attention, and if you're not, that's what we're here for. Skubal's only pitching one game. And speaking of the one game, Rob just brought up Great Britain. He's pitching against Great Britain. Like, they even handpicked the game, which seems to me to be a weird game to have him pitch in. Right? I mean, if I'm like, all right, if I got Skubal for one game here, I'm saving him and we'll roll him out against Venezuela or Puerto Rico, whatever. Like, we'll roll him out after. But whatever. It was set in stone. It was basically all common. I'll pitch on March 7th for you against Great Britain, and then I'm leaving. So Skubal, all right, whatever, dude. How much impact does he have on the tournament? None. They were going to beat Great Britain anyways, and then Skubal's not on the team anymore. Skeen said he'll do two, right? And then people are like, oh, and whatever, dude. Like, there's not that many games in the tournament. So the U.S. are in a pretty good spot. They'll have Logan Webb twice and Skeens twice. So essentially – but the thing is, it's easy to say, oh, you got him twice, but what does that really mean? And I'm saying this from a handicapping perspective for the futures. Okay, so Skeens pitches twice because this isn't like the Olympic gold medal in hockey. They don't play every 2 days, guys, these pitchers, right? They're pitchers, right? They need their 5 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not – So Skeens can't really – you can't really say, oh, yeah, Skeens and then Webb and then Skeens and then Webb or like – no, you can't really do that. So basically, the U.S. will have all these stud pitchers pitching against teams that they would have beaten anyways with anybody pitching. And then after, they'll have Webb and they'll have Skeens, right, for like the semifinal and the final, the quarterfinal or whatnot. So where I'm going with this is – this little USA pitching dominance really is an illusion. Like, it really doesn't have as much impact as you think it does. And, oh, yeah, by the way, in the WBC, there's pitch counts. First preliminary games, non-elimination games, 60 pitches. And no one here, they ain't going 60 pitches. So the whole starting pitching thing is a little bit, it's more about the bullpen because these guys are only going to go three innings anyways and stuff. Except – now when you get into a guy like Yamamoto in Japan, these guys are psychopaths. The title game, the pitch count is 95. Yamamoto would go 95. like, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen it before. Japan take this super seriously. This isn't like an exhibition tournament to them. This is the World Championship. This is the World Cup. And they want to defend their championship. So USA are minus 110 favorites. Absolutely no value whatsoever. Japan, plus 350. They've won the WBC more than anybody else. You can't say they're loaded, but they play great fundamental baseball. They've got awesome pitching, and they have Shohei Ohtani as their DH. And then you get into the Dominican Republic at plus 425. They're the sexy girl in the room here. Like when you guys, like the Dominican Republic lineup, I'm rattling it off. I'm not even looking at it. Like, but you got Vlad Guerrero Jr., like their top five, six hitters. It's insane. It's Vlad Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, Manny Machado, Julio Rodriguez. That's their first five hitters, six hitters. Like their offense is going to like murder people. They're going to put runs up on the board, and they're plus 425. And they want to win. Like they're united. They're on the same page. They practice together. Like they don't want to, you know what I mean? No one wants the USA to win. Sorry, Rob, besides the USA, right? The Dominicans are like, no, we haven't won this in a couple. They won it a couple of times ago. Japan have taken this thing over. I mean, it's just an awesome tournament, Rob, in the sense that USA are sending their best. There's all this patriotism coming off the gold medal in the Olympics of hockey and Aaron Judge on the team. And like they're stacked. You got Japan and Ohtani that are the world kingpin, world champion badasses. And you got this Dominican lineup, bro, that are just a bunch of freaking assassins, man. Like, and then you got Venezuela who are good, but not stacked enough. Puerto Rico, 18-1, Venezuela, 9-1, Mexico, 20-1. Canada 50-1, South Korea 50-1. What's your future pick, Rob?
And that Dominican lineup, you even left out Ketel Marte and O'Neill Cruz, and you had already won.
Oh, yeah, well,
60.
Thank you. And by the way, they're starting their pitchers are Alcantara, Christian Sanchez, right. Barrios, I think, is there. Yeah, Barrios of the Jays. Their pitching is good, too. They're a little erratic, their pitchers, but in a one-game situation. And the Dominicans want this too, guys. Like they don't, their pitchers will go five innings if they can and stuff. Like they will be all in to win this thing.
Yeah, they got some hard throwers on that team. I mean, even when you get to the pen between, I'm looking at it now, Carlos Estevez, Camilo Duval, Gregory Soto, these guys all throw heat. So at that price, Gabe, I would have to say that the Dominican would be the best value there. I mean, that team, you could argue that team is personnel-wise as good, if not better, than any. So why not take a shot at the plus 425?
I think they have the best lineup. Rattled off. I think they have the best lineup. And as you stated, you got a bunch of flamethrowers in the bullpen that are all going to be knowing I'm only going to pitch an inning anyways or whatever. So they're going to really bring it. Their starters can be really good, right? They're lethal. Like they really are lethal, but man. But USA are stacked. USA are stacked. Japan or Japan. What's your pick, Cam? Who's going to win the WBC? Or at least we can give another pick next week because it starts on Thursday only. But futures and numbers are up and they're going down, actually. We're starting to lose value on this stuff. Who do you like?
Good call, Morenci. And if you guys like the Dominican, just shop around too. I'm seeing a 460 on FanDuel, better than 420, 425. I like Japan at plus 380. That's what I'm looking at. That's the best price I can find. Gabe, you mentioned it. These guys are clutch in situations all the time. They've dominated this tournament before, up and down the roster. Not everybody knows every single player, but all I know, this is huge for them. They bond together as a nation, as a country, and want to kick everybody's ass. They're great under pressure. I like Japan, and you guys are right about the Dominican. If you can get plus 460, they look good. I only think it's probably a three-team race, but a Japan at plus 380 will be my pick.
One thing with Japan is they have a big advantage. It's not an advantage, an unfair advantage, because it is what it is. They send their players, but Major League Baseball hitters don't know their pitchers, man.
Great point.
Think about it, Rob. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't know their stuff, bro. Everyone else, it's like, yeah, Paul Skeens is good, but I faced him before. I know what he's going to throw. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you think the guys on the Dominican Republic, I just rattle off, you guys rattle off all the other hitters. You think guys on the Dominican Republic are thinking, oh, we're scared of Logan Webb. Whoa, no, we can't hit Logan Webb. You know what I mean? Vladimir Guerrero's going to be thinking, fuck Logan Webb. I'm going to crush him, fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, you know what I mean? There's, but you get these Japanese dudes, man. You're like, I don't know this guy's pitches. And they're all good in the Japanese league. So you can have these dudes throwing these weird pitches and different stuff. You don't know it. Like, so it's a problem. For me, it's just always the offense with Japan. Do they have enough offense? You've got Ohtani. You've got Suzuki. And as you stated, like, you got a bunch of Japanese dudes. Oh, Morikami's on the team. Okamoto, they got big leaguers, but the thing is that Nakamura, the thing is with these guys, the Japanese league is good. Like, their Japanese players are good, right? So, like, they take pride in winning this thing. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Like, people always talk about world champions. I'm a Dodger fan, so it's kind of weird because Ohtani and Yamamoto are on the Dodgers, so it's not the best example, but I do believe, like, if the World Series champion played the Japanese champion in a 7-game series, I would think the Major League Baseball team would win, but it's no lock. Like, you know what I'm saying? It would go 6-7 games. Like, if anyone thinks that, oh yeah, like if you took the Japanese champ and the World Series champ, not the Dodgers though. Like, I know you took another World Series champ. And so let's say the Blue Jays won the World Series last year. You took the Toronto Blue Jays and made them play, who, you know, the Hashin Tigers, whoever won last year in the Japanese League. I'll say Major League Baseball in six. But, you know what I mean? There's no, like I said, guys, Sasaki, like Yamamoto, these guys were all on Japanese teams before they're on the Dodgers. Like, they're good. Like, it would not be as easy as Americans think. You know, and I tell you, just from an obnoxious standpoint, Rob, I don't know if I can handle the USA winning this World Baseball Classic, bro. I can't take any more Trump's tweets or smack talk. I can't, like, you guys got the gold medal. It's enough.
Stick to hockey. Yeah.
Yeah. They just don't have the same, I guess, beef with any of these countries in the, World Baseball Classic. That USA-Canada thing has become a real thing in hockey. I mean, it's so much fun to watch. Just as an outsider, better, because I don't watch a lot of hockey.
It really
guys.
Isn't fun, Rob. I'm in the middle of it. Well, it really isn't. Like, it's emotionally
out of control.
But yeah, you know, it's put hockey on the map. You know what it is, Rob? It's like suddenly we're Brazil and Argentina in soccer or something. It's like freaking intense, bro. Like,
yeah, bring the Four Nations back, because I think it was you guys who told me that the Finns and the Swedes hate each other. So what the heck?
Yeah. The next Four Nations is going to be it's actually going to be the World Cup of Hockey in 2028. There's going to be eight teams. Mm. Speaking of Canada, Freddie Freeman unfortunately cannot play. He's just, you know, he's injured. I don't call him out for it. He's worn Canada on his sleeve when he could play for them. He just can't this time around. But Canada's roster is a sneaky a little bit better than people realize. Except the odds makers are aware of this. I found this interesting. So you can bet to win the group. Pool betting. All right, so there's pool betting and there's to advance as well. So here it is, World Baseball Classic to advance from Pool A. Puerto Rico, -340. Canada, +105. Colombia, +145. Cuba, +225. Panama, +350. So I was like, you look at that, you'd be like, really? Canada's gonna finish ahead of Cuba or Panama even? Panama are pretty good at baseball, right? And the odds, why would Canada be a favorite at +105 only to get out of this group? But, you know, you look at their roster and it's like, all right, their catcher, Bo Naylor, infielders, Tyler Black, Matt Davidson, Adam Hall, Edward Julian, Otto Lopez, Josh Naylor, outfielders, Denzel Clark, Tyler O'Neill, Jared Young, pitchers, Logan Allen, Cal Quantrill, James Paxton, Michael Soroka, Jameson Taillon, Matt Wilkinson. You know what? It sounds like we're the Kansas City Royals or something, Rock team. We're not that bad. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, we're stars, but yeah, we got a team. We got a team.
You know that is the ultimate grind team. They got a couple of good athletes in the outfield too, Gabe. You know the kid for the A's. Like, he's absolutely amazing. The Naylor brothers are from my hometown of Mississauga. They're legends around here. Like, those are
Julian's a fast young player too on Colorado. He's really good.
Great call. And the thing is, no, there are a lot of very hardworking, like,
and even
the
pitching
guys.
Staff doesn't, you know, it's like, all right, Soroka, you know, James Paxton, Cal Quantrill, like Jameson Taillon, veteran type of guys that can sort of eat some outs up here. What do you think of the Canada team here, Rob?
Not bad. And I would say, you know, if the Netherlands wasn't in the Dominicans group, maybe the, you know, the Netherlands don't have ever have a bad lineup. Actually managed by Andrew Jones this year because his kid is on the team. But a bunch of major league talent on that team, led by Ozzie Albies.
Yeah, I tell you what, no, the Netherlands guys, for people tuning in, it's funny because we were kidding last week about this, saying it's weird that the Netherlands are so good at ice skating, speed skating, but they don't try to play hockey like Germany does, and the Netherlands never got into it, but they're good at baseball. And he just brought it up. Rob just brought it up, Andrew Jones. But if you're wondering why, like, Netherlands baseball, Curaçao.
Yeah.
If you're from Curaçao, you've got Dutch citizenship. So they have, it's sort of like the U.S. Virgin Islands with, like, you know, with Tim Duncan there. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like Andrew Jones can, you know, fly in Amsterdam and go to the Bulldog Cafe and smoke some weed, Cam. He's welcome in Holland.
We want to be welcome in Holland. Yeah, that's big.
I'm just saying, like, people wonder, what do you mean the Netherlands? Like, it's not a bunch of blonde dudes from the Netherlands.
I'd rather be welcome in Holland than a lot of
Paris. If you're going to pick a place to be welcome.
Oh, please, Gabe, roll the red carpet in Holland. That's
well, people are like Israel. Israel got pretty good at hockey a few years ago. They went from nothing to something. And people are like, oh, this is a great story. How did Israel get good at hockey? And I told them, it's all Russian Jewish guys. It's not Israel. Like, it's not like from Tel Aviv. Mm. They got a couple of Canadian kids that are Jewish, and they got a bunch of Russian Jewish guys. Like, there's a lot of Jewish, like Russians and stuff, right? But like, so, you know, it's, but these, you know, it's, the Netherlands are not bad at baseball. It's true. Like, they're scrappy. They got a couple of pitchers too, right? Like, who's their big league guy? They got a couple of big dudes, actually, that can sling it. It's going to be fun. Like I said, so, yeah, for betting Canada, guys, we don't have a snowball chance in hell of winning the tournament. But getting out of the group is the goal. And Cuba aren't Cuba anymore. Panama, we're better than – we got more big leaguers. Like I said, get out of the group or bust. Let's get it. Plus 105. That's going to be the bet. All right, we got a couple more minutes with Rob. College basketball. We got Michigan and Illinois tonight. What a week for the Michigan Wolverines. You play Purdue, Duke, and Illinois in a span of 7 days. Like, really? Okay. You know, at least I was thinking about this, though, guys. I was like, you know, the NCAA tournament is going to be easier than any of this is for us. Think about it. We're not going to play Duke, Purdue, and Illinois all on the road or on a neutral court three games in a row there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we'll have to play Duke or Purdue or whatever in the Final Four, but, like, the actual run to get to the Final Four will be easier than what Michigan goes through right now. So, like, this is almost the hardest part of the season. Let's just get it over with. But what's your pick, Rob? What's your take tonight for Michigan and Illinois in Champaign?
Yeah, and it wasn't even within the last 7 days, Gabe, but they also had to go to East Lansing. So it hasn't been easy for Michigan. But I'm glad that I played this morning and that I released for clients this morning, because I played total over 157.5, which, while we were talking about the World Baseball Classic, just got pushed up to 159.5. So
dear God,
a little bit of that CLV in my pocket here, which, you know, a lot of times ends up in the garbage can, but you like to have it. So 157.5 total over, you know, just, I couldn't land on a side here, Gabe, because Illinois is talented as any team in that league. I mean, a team with two potential NBA point guards. And before Boswell got hurt, I don't know that they knew that Wagler was going to be Wagler. And then, of course, you talk about their bigs who can shoot threes, the Ivicic guys, and maybe drag some Michigan height from the rim. But Michigan matches up with somebody at every position as well. Stojakovic for Illinois. The scoring options for Illinois are endless. And we'll see. To me, it came down to a little bit of a style of play here. Michigan's a fast-tempo team. Illinois is not. But I do believe Illinois is so efficient, too, that maybe they can set up against a Michigan half-court defense. I'm not sure. But I think Brad Underwood will take his opportunities when they're there to run and try and get cheap points. In my mind, it's about impossible to stop Michigan. Probably can't say impossible because Duke did shut them down offensively last weekend, but Illinois is not the same defense as Duke. I just think it's going to be a high scoring game. A typical Michigan get to the 80s, typical Illinois get to the 80s, and we'll see who wins here. This number, as we speak, 1.5 favor of Michigan. So it's been a little bit back and forth, going up to 2.5, come back down. Looks like they got a pretty good balance of money here.
We got some heavyweight matchups on Saturday, some really fun games. I'll sort of go rapid fire before Rob gets out of here, but Kansas and Arizona. Wow. At Arizona, total 147.5. That's an early game too. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock, Pacific. My scoreboard operates on Pacific time. So that game, that's like a heavyweight matchup. But how about like, dear God, you got Alabama and Tennessee, 162.5, Arkansas and Florida, big day in the SEC. Hogs go to Florida. Everyone's jumping on the Gator bandwagon now. They're like 9.5, 166.5. We got a West Coast Conference class, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, 142.5. And I was going to ask you about Nova. You're in Philadelphia, and I bring this game up because how about St. John's? And for people tuning in, if you're unaware, St. John's literally missed 24 shots in a row in their last game. 24 shots in a row. Like, that's almost impossible to do. Like, it was bad, bad. Like, they literally, and give credit to Patino. Whatever, he's a showman, so everything's fake. But he did the old, like, you know, if that was Mick Cronin or something, like, he would have been, oh, I'm going to leave them all here. They're losers, and this is the most embarrassing team I've ever coached. Patino laughed about it after. He goes, guys, that was, he started laughing. And he said, wow. He said, I blame myself. He said, I didn't have the kids ready tonight. And I'm thinking, dear God, like if you were a player watching that, you'd be thinking, this is the biggest lie and they don't know the truth. Like, Patino was Johnny Nice Guy after that game the other night. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd like to see what he really is like in practice and stuff, like after. So you know where I'm going with this, Rob. The Johnnies were embarrassed, bro. Like rock bottom embarrassed. How do you think they respond against Nova?
Yeah, I think they'll respond, Gabe. And it's interesting with Villanova, Kevin Willard's done such a, you know, on paper at least, done a great job with this team, which wasn't expected to do much. A lot of that's a product of the Big East being such a garbage conference this year. So Villanova, somebody had to, you know, be like the third best in the league. But when Villanova was put to the test last Saturday against UConn, they're down 21 in the second half. And really, you know, the final score is not really indicative of the beating UConn put on them. So now you're going to have to face the second best team, St. John's, which comes in an angry mood. I don't know. You know, Nova's a team that relies a lot on 3-point shooting. We'll see how that goes for them. I don't think it will. Something you said caught my attention there. It's interesting that Mick Cronin went berserk, nationally criticized on every show that hadn't mentioned Mick Cronin for 5 years. And I'm thinking to myself, where have you been, man? Mick Cronin's been this little sawed-off loudmouth since 2006. But the point is, his team responded really big, UCLA. And Danny Hurley did the same thing after their recent loss. He went berserk, and UConn responded the way they're supposed to respond by burying Villanova and then burying St. John's, and all of a sudden UConn's back to the one seed line. I think St. John's will come through here, especially defensively. It's going to be tough for Nova. I just don't see a price on that game yet. Gabe, do you see it?
Yeah, it's got it right here. 7.5. God, I got a lot of pages open. 7.5, 145.
Yeah, I think I'd be willing to lay 7.5.
It just moved that. It's like a 7 and 145.5 here now. St. Johnny's minus 7, 145 and a half. Yeah, look, St. John just scored 40 points, so you know they're going to be aggressive offensively. Just saying, like, maybe a team total with St. John's.
7 and 45 puts them where? 73, 75, 68. So 70. So St. John's team total probably going to be in the 76 and a half vicinity. And I could see 77 being scored here. Nova likes to play it slow, but of course, St. John's likes to play it high. You know, the first one you mentioned, KU going to Arizona after upsetting Arizona on what we used to call Big Monday when they didn't have Darren Peterson, when Darren Peterson, you know, it checked out 6 minutes before the start of the game and somehow KU rallied and won that one. Certainly, that's a situational spot for Arizona too. Only 8.5 as I see right now, 8.5, 46.5 or 47. I could see Arizona going ballistic in that game. So these situational spots, they've been popping up all over the place the last 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, you got a Houston Cougar team that's lost 3 straight games too, which is extremely rare, right? All right, Rob, we'll wrap it up. I know you got to get going, but I tweeted you this. Got to be prepared. UFL football. Yeah, March Madness. All right, that's cute. But we got UFL football on March 27th. But interesting rule changes right now. Any field goal of 60 or more yards will result in 4 points. You're not allowed punting from inside the opponent's 50-yard line. You have to go for it. 1 foot in bounds now. They went CFL style and college style. 1 foot in bounds, not 2 feet in bounds for a completed catch. Should be interesting, Rob, and have a dynamic as far as the totals are concerned moving forward.
Yeah, it was great stuff when you posted it. It's funny. I went to respond to you, and I'm like, nah, I don't know. I don't have 3 million followers, but I know a couple of them are odds makers. So I don't want to like
jump. Same with me, too. I sort of put it out there once early, and people are like, oh, someone said, oh, it's a long time away. And I told someone, I ain't bringing it up again.
I'll put it in Gabe's DM if I'm going to say something.
What do you think? Like, I know it sounds cheesy, like, but you know what? Hey, it's a 60-yard field goal. Give him an extra one, like the Rouge in the CFL, and I like going for it. I, you know what? If you're going to have a league that's different, do it different. Gabe, I kind of like it. As crazy as it sounds, I'm not sure what the opinion is of football fans, but I think it's pretty cool.
No, it's been positive. The
good
thing with the XFL was kind of funner. The UFL is good football, but remember we talked about it last year. I brought it up, Rob. I said it's boring though. It was fun to bet on, right? But it was like it was plays like an NFL preseason game. These coaches are like punting on 4th and 2 and stuff. It's like, dude, man, there's 300 people in the stands. Right? Like, you're not going to get fired if you lose the game. Like, just go for it. All right? You're trying to showcase the players, but, like, it got too serious. Like, coaches were like, no, I'm winning. And they were like, I don't care about, like, this kid's game tape. I'm running the ball here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it got too serious and, quite frankly, kind of boring. Like, I'd bet on it, and I'd be like, yeah, this is hard to watch, but, you know what I mean? At least I got money on it. And, you know, like Now, at least, it'll be like, whoa, yeah, hey, like, you know what I mean? We were talking about it. Like, think about it, guys. Imagine, Cam, you're down by 3 points. You're on, like, the 55-yard line, or if you're on the 45. You'll have teams that'll be like, man, we got to lose 8 yards or something so we can get 4 points out of this. So it'll be fun. Like, guys will be running backwards. Yeah. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be this sort of like weird. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the other thing, too. Yeah. You're inside the 50. You're not a punting footer cup. You got to go for it.
That's right. And like, we love like that. We do love that because inside the 50, generally, if you don't make it, if you don't get the first down, it's good field position for the other side. And if you do make it, it's even better field. It's a no-lose situation for us.
That was my Daniel Jones. I was way ahead of the curve years ago, guys, with the New York Giants betting overs when Daniel Jones is on the team. And I was there in person, and I caught on. I was like, guys, Daniel Jones will either lead them down the field and have a good drive, or he'll turn the ball over in good field position for the other team. I said, either way, we'll get points. And it was like clockwork, man. I swear to God. It'd be like the first drive of the game, Jones would look good. Touchdown, Giants. Next drive, turn the ball over on his own 13. You know what I mean? I'd be like, perfect. Like, this is exactly what I called. Like, yeah, it's a good dynamic. Yeah, it'll be fun. There's a couple other ones, too, about, like, penalty in the inside. You get a penalty inside a 20-yard line and it automatically is half distance to the goal, stuff like that. Like, they are trying to get some points and to fund this thing up a little bit. And I tip my cap to them for doing it. Rob Vino, wagertalk.com. Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Thanks for having me.
You too, Rob.
There's Rob Vino with us. Yeah, no, I like the move. And of course, CFL football, we're now like 97 days away from the CFL season. And I bought, this is the earliest I've ever bought CFL tickets before, but the BC Lions are displaced during the season due to the World Cup of Soccer. So the BC Lions are playing three games, not in Vancouver, but in BC. They're playing a preseason game in Victoria, and they're playing two regular season games in Kelowna. So, like, the BC Lions, they're not in Vancouver until July 25th, which is kind of weird and stuff. Like, but they did a good job. Like, all right, we're going to play here. They really planned it out compared to the Toronto Argonauts, who basically sold the games, basically. They said, well, like, you know, and it's crazy, guys, because in Toronto, are they state-of-the-art stadiums? No. Right? No. But number one, the Rogers Center, whatever, Sky Dome, whatever, they don't get along. Even though now they're kind of the same under the same umbrella. So, and plus you got the Jays and stuff, and they didn't want to convert. That was out of the question. But you have the University of Toronto, and you've got enough sort of little grandstand fields. You could have pulled it off. They just don't care. The Argos owners are lame.
Well, you could have played Gabe at what they played at Guelph before in the old days. Western.
Yeah, Mustangs, exactly. You could have went to Kings. Go to King. Go to like go to Kitchener, Waterloo, yes. Kitchener area. There's they got a nice
schools there.
There.
Oh yeah, Wilfrid Laurier, the Golden Hawks,
and Guelph University, Queens University. Like, come on, it's not that's not rocket science, guys.
Those are
like,
four to five stadiums within 1 hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours away, and they're all fine.
Even Niagara, like, not a great one, but whatever, dude. They got a grandstand. Say, well, we're playing in Niagara Falls, and we're going to put up a temporary grandstand. Like, the BC Lions, though, are the BC Lions are good.
Smart.
They're better at, like, they're better at running things than they are their football team in a weird way. Like, they're very good at, like, the community stuff and the promotions and selling tickets. Like, they average 27,000 fans a game. Like, they're for CFL, which is good. Like, they're a well-run organization, the BC Lions, but they got to get better on the field. It's almost like they spend all the money off the field. It's like, all right, cool. You got 50 Cent, you got Snoop Dogg, but signing a wide receiver too?
Yep, exactly.
Right. So like you can, and they've tried, they spend money, but it seems like they can spend money in better ways. But the BC Lions are playing in Kelowna. Kelowna's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's not close to Vancouver, too. That's why it's ambitious of them to do it.
It's pretty cool.
It's like a 4 or 5 hour drive. It's like an hour flight, a little less than an hour flight. But it's a beautiful resort type of town. The Kelowna Rockets, the Memorial Cup of Hockey is there this year, too. So they're sort of buzzing in Kelowna right now. But Kelowna's a really, like, up and coming. It's a happening place. Like, it's a big time world global tourist destination for summer sports and winter sport, though. A lot of like ski hills and all that type of stuff. People go from all over the world there. And also in the summer, like basically like half of the NHL, like all have like cottages and houses on the
wine country
there.
The best golf courses, like
it's Canadian wine country golf courses. So like it's basically like Canada's California, like it's a mini little California. Like that's what it is. Like when you get there, you feel like you're like, wow, it kind of feels like you're in, you know, Santa Clara or something like that when you're there. Like it's got that feel.
Speaking of BC, just a story that I want to get out there quickly. I know we got to talk other stuff. Gabe, there's a kid, AJ Ewart. It's the biggest story in golf today. People are talking. He shot 7 under. He's the clubhouse leader after two rounds. He's from Coquitlam, British Columbia. He went to Barry College. He's 364th in the world, and he went bananas today. He's actually the clubhouse leader. A couple of guys have to go out. AJ Ewart, from Coquitlam, British Columbia, leading the PGA tournament with a sizzling 7-under today. Best round of the day.
Coquitlam, yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Not far from me, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is wild. That is wild. So the BC Lions playing out there. They're playing two games, regular season games, the 27th and the 24th. It's a really cool little stadium they have out there in Kelowna, too. It's called the Apple Bowl.
Nice.
And it's really old. It's like it's one of these, like, I've heard about it before. Like, yeah, it's kind of an historic place type thing. And like
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
They're putting a lot of work into it. The place only holds, like the grandstand only holds like 4,000 people, I think. So like, but they put 18,000 seats in. So like the Lions actually went out of their way. Like they built the grandstands. They're all like, somebody from Kelowna, actually, someone from the city of Kelowna saw that I bought my tickets that I posted. All right, I'll see you in Kelowna. And they said, oh, welcome to Kelowna, Gabe. I work for the city. Anything I can help you with? Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And they said, the guy's a fan of the show. And he said, He said, we're very excited that the CFL is coming here. And like, he said, in fact, we're already working on it. Like he said, we're already building grandstands and we're already on this for the June and July games. So they're super excited. They got the Memorial Cup going there. They got CFL football, two games in a row. And it's cool too, because like I said, like the Toronto Argonauts just are sort of like, yeah, who cares? Like it's pathetic. Like it really is. Like just sell the damn team, man. Like if you don't care that much. Like the Argos are owned by now the same people that own the soccer team and the Leafs, yep. and the Raptors. And they're literally like at the bottom, but TFC, they're literally at the bottom of the barrel. Like that Keith Pelley guy, Cam, could give two craps about the Argos. Like he really doesn't. Like
they're such an afterthought. It's
like, dude, you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're the Raptors. You're telling me you guys couldn't get on the phone and say, hey, we need this arena or stadium. We're doing this. Like
you're right.
You just didn't care. They're like, yeah, whatever. And like they're it's just sort of apathy. The problem is too, like if they don't own the Argos, nobody will. So you're kind of stuck with them. Because nobody is stepping up and saying, yeah, I want to buy the Toronto Argonauts from you. And I don't even think they really want to sell them. They just poorly run them. So instead of like doing home games or around in the Toronto area or saying, you know what, all right, we'll go to this part of Ontario, which has never been done, think outside the box. They basically said, you know what, we'll just play these games in Winnipeg and in Saskatchewan. So not only that, like you're playing
the other team at advantage
3,000 miles away.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, so why didn't you just, like, at that point, you should have played in Hamilton. Like, and said, all right, whatever, we'll use Hamilton Stadium. But, like, they didn't want to, that was embarrassing, so they didn't want to do that. So, yeah, they ended up, like, basically selling their games off. And Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, they're happy.
Yeah.
Like, they sell tickets for their games. So, basically, they were like, oh, we'll gladly host the game if you don't want to host it. We'll gladly. You guys come here? Sure. So, I'm just telling, because people are already asking me about CFL futures. And there's a little bit of a competitive imbalance this year because the Argos are going to be on the road all the time and they're going to be screwed. BC can sort of absorb this because they thought ahead and they planned this. And what I like about the BC Lions is we're not the Vancouver Lions. We're the BC Lions.
Exactly.
So like they play in they go and play in other places, which is cool.
Well, they practice what they preach. It's the British Columbia Lions. You guys are going over BC. That's cool. Like, these guys are doing a good job.
It is. Now they got to figure out a win. Yeah. Because I got to be honest, a lot of other teams have been super aggressive this offseason in the CFL, specifically the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Bombers were an aging team, yet they were still good. And now, like, they literally saw the writing on the wall, like, all right, we need a complete, like, and they don't do rebuilds in Winnipeg. So, like, they reloaded. They basically said, all right, all these guys are out, except we're replacing them all with real players. We're not, like, Winnipeg, it was hard to keep up, dude. Winnipeg signed, like, 8 serious players in the offseason. It was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Saskatchewan are still good. They're the defending champions. They didn't really lose too many players. They're still really good. Edmonton are getting better and better every year now. Again, they used to be terrible, but they're starting to get credible and respectable. They were like only a win or two away from making the playoffs last year. And they got the BC Lions, who kind of like BC put all their money into one player. Nate Rourke's the highest paid player in the league, but the Lions lose more players than they bring in, it seems like often. And the Lions, like I've seen their offseason and I don't know. It could work. We'll see what happens. Like, they're rolling the dice, basically, with just a bunch of NCAA players. And they're going to hope that some of them work. You know what I mean?
You know what it is, Gabe? The Hamilton Tiger Cats did that with their secondary. And I remember when we went to the game, it was actually versus BC. And they had, like, 4 guys that, like, raw. But it took them, like, they started to figure it out as the season went on and were way better in the second year.
That was
year.
A bad idea, what Hamilton
did. Yeah, that's like, hey, we're going to get all these NCAA guys. They were getting absolutely torched.
No, but you know what? If you're going to do that, Cam, and I noticed one thing, the Lions were smart enough. Like, the Lions, one thing they do have, we've talked about it a lot last year, they do have a good secondary.
Yes, they do.
So they've got veteran. Well, they lost one of the kids to the NFL, actually, the kid that made that crazy catch. But the Lions do have good DBs. You need veteran DBs in the CFL. But the Lions, it's offensive guys. Like, the Lions basically signed, like, 10 wide receivers and 5 running backs and all from big schools. Like, every day if you see the Lions Twitter account, it's like, oh, we signed this guy from the Kansas Jayhawk. We signed this guy from Auburn. We signed this guy, he played at Clemson. Like, not the star guys type thing from these schools, but, like, they're signing – and they're just hoping, all right, maybe one of these kids will be a star and he can figure it out here and he'll be better than everybody. But most of them don't. That's why you don't get excited when you see signings. And, oh, man, like even me, I'm like, oh, man, they signed that guy from Michigan. I like him. He didn't make the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get all, like, you think, oh, the guy from the Miami Hurricanes is going there. Right? It's like, yeah, he didn't make the team. See, I was just going to say, so yeah, the football season around the corner, the futures are up on the board. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, we're locked and loaded. But I'm only going to one of the games. I can't go, like, both to Kelowna. Kelowna's
expensive.
Well, that place
is expensive. Yeah.
With the hotel.
You'll have fun. That's going to be a party.
The Lions are setting up shop there for, like, a week and a half. Like, they're playing. They did it smartly. Like, they're playing on the 27th and July 4th. So, yeah, my July 4th celebration will be in Kelowna.
Sounds amazing.
BC. Outdoors. Scenic. Beautiful scenery. All right, so the NHL is back. We've had quite an eventful couple of days in the National Hockey League. And shout out to everybody who tuned in and listened to my rant yesterday. We got a lot of positive feedback and a lot of people. I think more people listened to yesterday's show than most of them. Like I said, we got a lot of feedback as far as our rant about the Olympic hockey situation. And listen, it's going to eventually die down. We're getting close, but it's still in its, you know what I mean? There's still the rage mode still going on here. And now it's funny. I find the irony kind of thick here, but now Brady Tkachuk. Now Matthew runs his mouth more than Brady does. Matthew, like, Brady's kind of like a dumb jock. Matthew, I think, is just kind of an asshole, to be honest. I think, like, Matthew's just one of those, like, if Matthew Tkachuk was a UFC fighter, he'd be strong Sean Strickland. Like, he's just a guy. He likes trolling people. I think he likes being a jerk type thing, and he embraces it. Like, his dad was too. Let's just be real, right? You know what I mean? He's got his dad's just sort of like, F you. I think Brady's a little bit less like, I think Brady's just more like into the hockey part.
Yeah, he's less lippy. He just
No, he runs his mouth in a hockey way, but like
not the same.
Yeah, like Matthew Tkachuk, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. They're both jerks, though. What am I saying? They're both jerks. Right? They're both jerks. But there is a video now going around of Brady Tkachuk calling Canadians maple syrup eating fucks after they won. And it looks very, it's like there's a video of it, right? It's fake. It's not real. Except, you know who created this? The White House. So, like, that's what I'm talking, when I talked about the classlessness the other day, like, the White House account is, like, putting words in Brady Tkachuk's mouth, saying maple syrup eating fucks. Fuck Canada. Dude, the guy's the captain of the Ottawa Senators in the Canadian capital. Exactly. You really think he's going to say that? Like, you really, like, honestly, does anyone really believe that, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, he hates Canada so much, he's going to say, like, really? So he's freaked out. Like, he basically, and now, like, the political pages have picked it up. Hockey player mad at White House and stuff. Like, Brady Tkachuk, like, had to call them and say, what the hell are you guys, like, what are you doing? You made a fake video of me calling Canadian maple syrup eating fucks? So he had to address this. That's not me. It's not my voice. It's AI. I would never, it's not what I was saying. I would never say that. That's not who I am.
He should never have to even do that. What a bunch of, like, that's such
yeah,
a
fucking
jackass.
Yeah, but it sucks that
he,
it's already out there, though, Cameron. Has millions of hits. So yes. It's too late to pull it back now. Almost.
Yeah, like, this is the whole problem, though.
Like, even though it's not fake, so the poor guy now, and I don't even like the guy now, he's got to say, listen, I never said that. But people are going to go, yeah, but he thinks that, or yeah, you probably really
exactly.
Do say that, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, no, I didn't say that, but people are going to say it's too late. Like, everyone's going to say, oh, you see Brady called us maple syrup fucks.
This is the world we're living
like,
in now.
Like, you just make shit up, and now, like, even he, and there's reports that he actually called the White House and said, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Exactly.
Like, why would you do this to me? And they had no comment on it, and now he's made a statement saying, I would never say anything like that.
Good for him. But this is nuts, Gabe. Like, the fact that he even has to defend himself, the fact that they put that out there, like, use your fucking head. Like you said, he plays for the Ottawa Senators, Canadian capital team.
The thing is, too.
And he would never, ever, ever do something like that. That's insanity.
And then yesterday, too, it was his first time back. So he's back. And then Claire Hanna, who I like.
Yeah.
So whatever. She's doing her job in her way, I guess she thinks. But, and listen, I can't speak for Claire. So I'm not going to, like, call her out for anything. She's a woman. So, and a good looking one too, in my opinion, but she's a woman. So she has a right to be whatever offended about something. Like, I don't like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to question her because people are mad at Claire Hanna now, like really mad. Like now Ottawa fans have turned on Claire Hanna. You're going to chase them away and blah, blah, blah. Like Donald Trump, like made fun of the women's hockey team and the call with the men's team after. No reason to do it. He can't help himself. It's just who he is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was the exact same way when he said, when I laughed out loud, it was Donald Trump, his first Army-Navy game as president. And they said, oh, Mr. President, it's an honor to have you here in the booth. And, you know, what do you think of Army-Navy and your first, you know, commanders-in-chief game as president? He goes, wow, the quality of football isn't very good, but it's nice to be here. It's like, dude, like, he's just like, you know,
he just said,
like,
I'm going to be here. This is an honor.
Yeah, and then he said, you know, he goes, it's not like watching, you know, a real game or something. But he goes, yeah, you know, it's good. And I'm like, yeah. So he shows up and then he just dismisses them. So it's like the same type of thing. Like, congratulations to the man and ha, ha, ha. I guess the woman won too. Eh? And like, do I have to invite them? And whatever. Like, he just can't help himself. So like, He takes the shot at the Americans women's team. Everybody on the men's team laughed it up when he did it. They all cracked up. Now, I kind of believe some of them after. I kind of believe them when they say, I don't remember. Like, I kind of, and it sounds like a cop-out, but like, they like I saw, who was it? Like, Brock Nelson said, he goes, man, He goes, I literally don't remember like much from that game. He goes, once, like, it's really, it's like, it's that big a moment in their lives, Cam, that like, they all said the same thing, that it kind of became a blur. You know what I mean? Like, they don't remember what anyone said to them after. Everything's just moving fast and like, oh my God, like
huge.
Yeah. You're not listening. And like, it was like a nerd. So a lot of the US players said, I laughed, but I didn't really even hear. I just sort of was nervous laughing and I didn't really even hear what was said. All right. You know, some of them I can believe, but there's no way in hell all of them like are that giddy that they don't know reality. Right. So like, long story short, you know, he made fun of them. Right. And the players laughed. So Claire Hanna basically got in Brady Kachuk's face about that. And not only that, about Donald Trump being blah, blah, and, you know, not, you know, hating women and you guys laughed at the women and like, and I guess like Brady basically said, I support women's hockey and blah, blah. He gave the generic answer, yeah. But Claire wasn't having it and kind of pushed him a bit. And now Ottawa media, everyone's like, oh, you know what? You dumb bitch. He's going to leave because of you. And like, she's getting attacked. She's not Damian Cox. Like, she wasn't that bad guy. She, you know what I mean? Like, she asked the question that a woman reporter's going to ask. And some men, too. Right? Some people in the media, bro, like, I talked about the other day, like, the Frank Saravelli stuff. People in the media in Canada, for some reason, want, like, Americans to apologize for Trump. Like, point blank. Like, and they get mad when they don't. Like, it's like, and you're putting these people in a bad spot, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, let's say, you think every guy on the U.S. team loves Donald Trump? What the hell did, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Oh, I don't like him. What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, I don't like him. Then you're like saying you don't like your own president. And even if you don't, it's like hockey guys are so non-political, man. Like the last thing, you know what I mean? Like, Cam, you do this, suddenly Barstool and Clay Travis and all these guys are calling you anti-American.
Exactly.
And you're a scumbag. And like,
you can't do anything. You can't win. World game. Yes,
you can't win.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Like Austin Matthews never said anything one way or another. He just went, got the gold medal. He came back to Canada, was respectful. Like it was like, he was respectful with the Leafs saying, hey, you know, I understand. I'm okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. And people are mad. No, you should denounce it. Like, what do you want him to do?
Exactly.
Oh, you say, oh, I hate my own country? He doesn't. So, like, don't Winnipeg try to force him to.
About Hellebuck, too? They ripped the living crap out of him, too. I'm like, what the hell? Because with the, you should not accept this honor and whatever. The guy's fucking a hockey goalie. What a gold medal. Like, you said it. This stuff is out of control now. It is nuts. Like, I don't even know where we're going, Gabe. But I'll
Hellebuck
tell you.
Got it, though. Yeah, Hellebuck got, you know, Hellebuck didn't get ripped for that, but people, whatever. But Hellebuck Cam is the one guy who he was smart. Like, I don't like Damian Cox and stuff like that, but like it is smart if you are a player. And I thought about it during the game. You think about it, like Connor Hellebuck, guys, is a hero in Winnipeg. They love this guy to death. And he just beat, like, and people in Winnipeg love Team Canada. And it was like, it's awkward. You know what I mean? Like, Austin Matthews, whatever, didn't even do anything. So, like, yeah, who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, Connor Hellebuck's the reason why USA won, point blank.
Yep.
And Connor Hellebuck knows, like, I got to go back to a city that I just broke all the fans' hearts who are my fans. And a lot of the U.S. players are kind of dumbasses and jarheads. And a lot of them are jerks. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, put it this way. Like, you think Team Canada would have done any of this stuff? You know, like Team Canada, like you think they would have went to like a strip club and $150,000 tab with Pat McAfee and the White House and blah, blah, blah. Team Canada would have got drunk on their plane by themselves, yeah. Would have gotten off the plane and the story would have been over. Like they're back to the NHL. Like there would have been no party. Like,
exactly. You know what I mean? Yep.
Like, it would have been act like you've done it before. But with Connor Hellebuck, he gets it and he's a cool dude. So I love what Connor Hellebuck said to Jet fans when he got back. He said, this is the hardest part about it because I play in Winnipeg, a Canadian city. Given my heart and my soul, my entire career, this is where I chose to play. And I go into a moment like I kind of have to break the hearts of the people where I play. It's tough mentally. It's tough because I want them just to be as happy as I am. I'm really excited to bring the same excitement back to Winnipeg now. Like, dude, that's class personified.
You're right.
Like, he's saying, I'm sorry. I love you. I know we're fans. We're buddy. Like, we're family. Let's get back to Winnipeg Jet hockey now. That's how you handle it, Cam. Like, I got goosebumps right now. Like, that's class right there. And that's why now everybody in Winnipeg, all Jet fans, are happy for him. They're all like, yeah, he's the man. I'm happy for him. As opposed to people in Toronto, and it's not just Damian Cox. People are like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we should get rid of Austin Matthews. Like, you know what I mean?
They'll get rid of the whole team after the last two games, Brancy. They've just tapped out. There's no.
I said all along, though, that they should trade Austin Matthews. Like, after the Marner, whatever, the Marner, just the whole team needs a shakeup, I think. But, like, it's ugly, though. Like, when they showed the Team Canada game at the Leafs home arena, and Austin Matthews got booed, like, every time he touched the puck by Leaf fans in his own home arena. You know, like, I don't know. Like, these people need to chill out and stuff, because be careful what you wish for. Because if I was Austin Matthews, I would want out soon myself. I'd be like, listen, I'm getting attacked by the media. The team sucks. We're getting worse. We're not getting better. Despite what people think and stuff, Marner and Austin Matthews were very tight. And he's lost one of his best friends, right? His best friend's living in Vegas, probably talking on the phone to him, telling him, oh, yeah, it's great out here. No, there's no Damian Cox here, and there's no one even covers our team, and there's no media. Like, so if you're Austin Matthews, you got to start thinking, you know what, do I really want to be a Leaf for the rest of my life and never win a Stanley Cup, or do I want to go and play with my buddies on one of these teams somewhere? So you got to start, like, if I was the Leaf, like, I'm not saying Damian Cox is going to put it over the top and stuff, but like I said, Leaf fans, be careful, like, how you handle this. You already just lost Mitch Marner and got nothing in return. You fucked that up so hard, you got nothing in return. So I'm warning you all right now, you better figure out what you're going to do with Austin Matthews moving forward, Cam.
Yeah, I could already tell just the way the body language, the way the team played, getting smoked both games coming back, losing games of essentially game. What do you know, watching hockey and playing hockey, you come out in the first period and you're down already a couple goals. Like, they're not ready to play. They've tapped out. They're not listening to Berube. There's a big problem. And they have no draft picks in the cupboard. Like, this is an organization in a tailspin right now. Big, big problems.
Yeah, and I don't think they have the right people.
No.
They don't have – Treliving's not the right person to be –
Treliving ruined the Calgary Flames and a desperate hire. The Leafs pick him up. Look what they've done, Gabe. It was just – you know what? You talked about the Marner situation. I said Treliving will be a disaster. He has been a disaster. The guy's not a good GM. He was bad in Calgary too.
To the Leafs' defense, they did try to trade Mitch Marner.
They did.
And they had a damn good deal in place. They were going to get Rantanen. So I'll give them credit for that. They were like, all right. But the thing is, they let it get to like this. They let it get too far. It was too late. There was no turning back. So you tried to trade somebody who was a free agent who had a no trade clause. Like, from, it's like human, like, general manager, like, textbook 101 stuff. It's like, dude, you've got to realize, like, when you do this, okay, we're trying to trade Mitch Marner for Rantanen, but Mitch Marner's a free agent at the end of the year. Yet he doesn't want to leave here. Like, he's not in a hurry to leave. Like, it's not on his mind that, yeah, you know what? I really want to get out of here. Like, Marner wasn't, like, dying to get out of Toronto or anything. So once you did that, you basically told Mitch Marner, we don't want you. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, why suddenly Marner, like, Marner wasn't thinking about leaving the Leafs. Marner was thinking about, like, signing an extension with the Leafs. The Leafs turn around and try to pawn him off for Rantanen. Marner comes back with his feelings hurt, saying, all right, you know what? I was going to sign with you guys, and you guys are trying to get rid of me. Okay. And then somehow Leaf fans are mad at Marner for not accepting the trade and for leaving after. They're like, yeah, but if he was going to leave, he should have just accepted the trade because we didn't get anything. It's like, no, but you, the Leafs, are the ones that put him in this situation. The Leafs created this. And I've been watching, guys, we'll wrap it up, but I've been watching the documentary on A&E of AMC, of Rise of the 49ers. Rise of the 49ers, and it's super cool. Like, it's about the 49ers heyday and stuff, and it's narrated by Tom Brady, and like he's like he interviews everybody. Like, super well done. You don't have to be a fan of the 49ers to like it either. Like, if you're into old NFL, like the stories with Lawrence Taylor, whatever, it's really the footage. It's awesome. But there's one of the things in the in with the Niners, their big thing, Bill Walsh, who was heralded as a, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever and a hero and, you know, all this. And it's funny, Cam, because Bill Walsh looked like a really nice guy. And, like, he had that grandfatherly look. And Niner players would say, yeah, he was like a nice grandfather type thing. They said, but, man, like, he would turn fast on you. Like, and Bill Walsh had a saying, and he learned it from Paul Brown in the old days. It was like, better to let a player go a year early than a year late. And the Niners, like, let Joe Montana go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. they were always, like, cold and ruthless. The Dodgers are the same way. The Dodgers are the exact same way, guys. That's their motto. Friedman, that's his, like, basic, like, look, Walker Buehler was on the hill for us. Wins the World Series. 2 weeks later, they tell him, listen, Walker, we're going to have to let you go.
That's hardcore.
The guy, like, you know, the guy gave his arm to the Dodgers. Like, literally and figuratively. The guy had surgeries. The guy pitched on 2 days rest for us. Dodgers were like, no. Red Sox signed him, Cam, right? Dodgers are like, his arm is going to fall off soon. And we're not going to be on the hook when it does. And my whole thing here is like what Austin Matthews is like, don't just think like, oh, no, everything, like, we'll deal with it later. Everything's fine. No, man. Like, you got it better, like, and I'm not saying this, like, to disparage him. Because if I'm Austin Matthews, Cam, I'm looking at the direction of the Leafs right now, and I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. I lost Mitch Marner. What did they replace him with? Nothing. I remember when you guys in Vancouver, not blaming you, but, like, who's the dude from the Canucks? I liked him, too.
Oh, Dakota Joshua?
Yeah, yeah. People, yeah. Oh, Dakota Joshua. I was like,
dude,
hey,
that guy's not, I watch him play every game. I'm like, great. The Canucks were smart. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Come on, let's be honest here. That's what I'm saying.
So if you're Austin Matthews, yeah. You're like, yeah. All right, so we lost my best friend.
For this
the guy that has set up 289 and assisted on 289 or 300 of my career, 300 of my career goals. And you brought in Dakota Joshua instead.
Right.
After, like, how does this help me? How does this help, like you said, like, I'm not calling out Austin Matthews. Like, if I'm Austin Matthews, I'd be like, dude, our GM's an idiot.
No, he's been very loyal.
Like, we're getting worse, and the fans hate me. The media has turned on me. Like, if you're Austin Matthews, like, if I'm the Leafs, I got to put this fire out. I got to tell them we're going to build. It's going to be okay. And or just say, all right, listen, let's just trade them. Like I said before, Ken, trade them for another star. Like, there's got to, you know, figure out, all right, like, they almost had the Rantanen thing before, downright. Like, that was good. It just didn't work out, the timing. My whole deal is, I don't know, if I'm the Leafs, I got to be honest with you, you're screwed. People in Toronto don't want to rebuild, but I would almost kind of, not tank Cam, but, and then pray, whatever, dude. Connor McDavid's a free agent in 2 years. He's from Toronto. New market, whatever. I get the feeling he wants to be there, but if they're so bad, why would he go? Right? So, like, you know, why? Like, yeah, he's doomed in Edmonton. Why? Like, you're even more doomed in Toronto.
You go doomed west, doomed east. It's doomed.
So if you're Connor, you'd be like, all right, I guess I have no choice. I'll just go join the fucking Avalanche or something like that.
Yeah, why,
like,
not? Super team. Yep.
Yeah, I'm buddies with Nate or whoever he's friends with. But
yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I'm just saying we're getting ahead of ourselves. But same thing, like Edmonton, Connor, you know, you guys better figure that out because, you know, he only signed a 2-year contract extension for a reason, guys. Like I told you, same thing like with Hockey Canada. We're all naive. Someone got mad at me when I said after they lost the other night, I said, man, if Connor leaves Edmonton, you're not going to blame him. You can't blame him. And Edmonton people got really mad at me. And I said, yeah, because Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier finished their careers in Edmonton too, right? And they said, oh, you're an idiot. That's so, such a different example and shit.
These hockey guys, and I'm thinking, here, it's like,
I'm like, man, you're so not well. You think Connor McDavid's married to you in fucking Edmonton? Exactly. You stay there for fucking ever?
Like, people think it's like a right that a player, like, yeah, when he plays for us.
Oh, yeah. No, he's ours. He's not yours. And if he was yours, he would have signed a long-term extension.
It's
just
insane.
He literally just signed a two-year extension only. If that's not a message, I don't know what is.
I listen to Hockey Takes, Gabe, and I'm sitting there going, these people are just absolutely fucked. Like, all, like, just the way they think about things.
Oh, even Lee McGuire. Remember Lee McGuire, OTR, the old days?
Like, what?
He's captain Canada hockey. And I said something like a few months ago about Hockey Canada slipping in NCAA. Man, you would have thought I insulted his wife and his daughter. Like, he sent me this long thing. How many fucking players are drafted? Get your facts straight and fucking before you say Canadian hockey. And like, he's going off. And I'm like I said, I'm like, oh yeah, because yeah, the Windsor Spitfires are filling up football stadiums with 75,000 people, right? Yeah, the Windsor Spitfires are playing players $2 million a year, right? These, you know, hockey people, these hockey fans and hockey, a lot of people in Canada, guys, it was the best analogy I came up with. They're like Blockbuster Video, fuck. They fucking have no idea, like, that streaming exists. Like, they're literally like, no, no, what do you mean? No, people will always rent videos from us. It's like, hey, guys, you're going to be bankrupt in a year, all right?
Rewind your tapes, Gabe. I remember Blockbuster. What? It's gone? Remember one day I went there, I'm like, whoa, yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, they're just living in the past. You're right. That's bottom line.
Yeah, they think that because we were, you know, oh no, we were an empire before. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not, though. Like, this whole thing with the Leafs, you're not an empire. All right. So thanks to Rob Vino. Thanks to Cam Stewart. Check me out online. We'll have the college basketball, big weekend of sports and stuff. Late night tonight in the National Hockey League. We did all right last night in the NHL. You had the Winnipeg Jets and the Ducks tonight. Big game. Ducks are kind of rolling right now. They're rolling going into this thing. They're battling for a playoff spot. So Buffalo and Florida is a massive game tonight, too. You know what? I'll say the Sabres beat the Panthers.
So do I. I'm betting the Sabres. And last night, Gabe, we had finally got Minnesota beat Colorado. I know this game might be tricky. I think Utah beats Minnesota tonight in the zigzag. That's kind of one of my picks.
It's a tough back-to-back with altitude. Yeah. So, yeah, the thing is with Buffalo, they're only minus 105, so there's no value there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Minnesota Wild playing in the toughest spot in hockey. They played in Denver last night. Now they're playing in Salt Lake tonight, the two biggest altitude cities in North America, or I should say in America, because Mexico City is in North America. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, Mexico City has the UFC on Saturday night. We'll be posting some picks for that. Other than that, you're on your own later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Healthcare is so overwhelming. My doctors rushed through visits. I was billed for things that should be covered, and no one was really listening. I felt lost. That's why I called Solace. They paired me with a trained healthcare advocate who actually knew how to get things done. She helped me find the right doctor, coordinate transportation after surgery, and overturn a medical bill. She even joined my appointments to make sure I got real answers. And the best part? It's covered by Medicare, and they stay with you for as long as you need help. My Solace advocate is always just a phone call or text away.
96% of patients report better care with a Solace advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E health.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.